Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
I'm Blair.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. Whew, it's been a weekend.
Yeah.
It is. Jeez.
It feels like a marathon.
It does.
Yeah. Because, guys, we watched WWE programming for four straight nights.
Yeah.
Like, we full
Friday,
on...
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, yeah.
We full on did it this year.
That's never happened to me before.
Yeah.
That's never... Four straight nights have never happened.
Well, I mean, it's always at least been three if you watch, you know, the Hall of Fame, which we never did.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Yeah, so normally it's just two, and even sometimes that felt like a marathon.
Well, yeah.
But this year we had TakeOver on top of that, which was a great sprint at the beginning.
Well, like, it doesn't help that, like, we also spent the time not, you know, watching their scheduled WrestleMania stuff.
Yeah.
We play WWE 2K16.
We were checking Reddit, like, nonstop.
We watched... some old ECW, or we watched some highlight video. Like, it's been pretty solidly wrestling.
We've been for the past
4 days.
And for us, like, it doesn't end there because we've got we got NXT in Charlotte on Thursday. Mm-hmm. We're going to be there if anyone else wants to meet up. You'll find our shirts.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You'll notice us. So hopefully we're not feeling like totally gassed on this.
Honestly, I'm not, and I really thought I would be.
Like, yeah,
because there are weeks where like one thing of Raw, it'll be like 10:30. Be like, I'm done with wrestling for the week.
Yeah.
I don't need any wrestling in my life for the next week.
Yeah. I thought I would be feeling way more burned out on it than I am. I'm definitely a little bit burned out, but I don't feel bad about it.
Might just because you've had American food for the last 4 days.
Yeah, so I flew to the States for this. My insides are now coated with a sticky film I've not yet identified.
We've identified it. It's Mountain Dew Voltage.
Mountain Dew Voltage.
I've successfully addicted Blair to Mountain Dew Voltage this week.
We don't have Mountain Dew Voltage in Canada.
But yeah, this is your first. You've been on the podcast several times, but this is your first
time. In-person podcast.
Yes.
So. And on Sunday for WrestleMania, it was the first time all four of the Ring Attire guys have been in the same room.
That was super fun.
That's cool. Yes.
That's great. I never actually got to meet Q before. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's more weird for you guys because you can do a podcast with them.
Yeah.
We just occasionally talk to you.
Yeah.
It's less weird for us, but you know, whatever.
it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. It's too bad Jonah couldn't be here for this part. Hi, sure.
Hi, Q.
All right, so we got four days to get through here in the next... I mean, this podcast is going to take more than an hour. I feel fairly confident, but...
Some parts. Yeah, we'll see. So let's go ahead and jump into TakeOver Dallas for NXT.
I'm comfortable saying this is the best TakeOver event they've done so far.
This is the best TakeOver event, and it was the best WWE program of the weekend.
Yes.
It was the best WWE program I've seen in years.
Yeah, from start to finish, like...
A solid block of entertainment, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the card now, and I can't find a single match that I had any sort of, you know, even just indifferent feelings about.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, so for any CRA people who haven't listened to Trashy Ring Attire, I don't get the network in Canada because it's a lame cable package, so I don't I don't get NXT on the regular. So I have watched some of the TakeOver events. I was blown away by this one.
Like,
it was hands down the best pay-per-view I've seen from any company in years, probably.
Yes,
was basically a perfect card. It even killed the idea that I hear a lot about they need filler matches or a cooldown match or something like that. Was there a cooldown match on TakeOver today?
Honestly, there wasn't.
I would say no, because the last three matches were... Your headlines, your title matches.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it was a two hour and some change event, and there was 5 matches. Not a single one was under 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Every match was at least, well, Austin Aries versus Baron Corbin was the only one that didn't go over 15 minutes.
Okay. But still over 10.
Yeah, but still over 10, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you don't even have to have a huge card with a ton of matches or anything like that.
No. And, I mean, there's always the devil's advocate argument of they only have to fill 2 hours instead of 3 hours. Of course, once you get to 3 hours, you're going to need 3 hours or 4 hours or 5 hours, apparently, which is a thing.
Right.
you're going to need filler matches so that the crowd is strong enough to cheer at the matches at the end where you theoretically want them to.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
But no, this card, solid top to bottom.
Yeah.
Every match felt essential. Every match felt justified. Mm-hmm. Everything about it was.
Yeah. And on that note, let's start from the beginning. We had the American Alpha defeating the Revival and winning the NXT Tag Team Championship.
So this match had a pretty bad botch at one point in it, fairly early on. It was a clear, unmistakable botch.
Sure.
Like, that's the thing, a lot of botches, somebody can be like, that's a botch. You're like, maybe. Or they covered it well. And this was a clear, like, no getting around it.
Sure.
Got a Botchamania chant.
Sure.
And so...
I forgot about that.
I mean, and it was kind of nice.
But
like,
that's the thing. You forgot about it.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right.
They did a thing where... Somebody, I don't remember who it was, but somebody like kind of grinned and shrugged at the camera, like,
yeah,
we screwed that up.
Yeah.
But they kept going.
They kept going.
And they kept they didn't lose any of the intensity, they didn't lose any of the momentum that they had built.
And
they didn't let the botch kill the match, essentially.
Right. And that's, even though I brought it up first, that's not the defining moment of the match.
Right.
Which it feels like it very possibly could have been.
It felt like the defining moment of that match was that great camera work that stayed on that one turnbuckle,
mm-hmm.
and then Jason Jordan came in with that corner spear out of nowhere.
He it was like a Scooby-Doo moment. Like,
yeah.
He goes through the door on one side and comes out the other.
Yeah. American Alpha, like, I can't say enough about these guys. And, the Revival, it was one of those things where I was okay with either team winning. It just felt like, going into this, American Alpha had the momentum that it almost felt foolish that they not have the championships.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, either team, I could definitely see them getting called up within the year.
I've never seen either one of these teams before, and I will watch anything that these two teams do after this. So.
Because American Alpha has such great technical ability, especially Gable. And the Revival is just such a good throwback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good, like, straight up and downhill. They don't, make any ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yeah. And they're vicious about it. So that makes them convincing in my eyes.
I mean, it is another example that NXT is working on fixing the tag team division like they've done with the women's division.
Yeah.
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 Hopefully that trickles to the
But the Divas division problem women's was... Division. Now, No. The Divas division...
As of right now, we have to chronologically at the time.
I'm just saying, the Divas division problem that they had was a much more pressing issue than the tag team.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Fair
which
enough.
Led to them changing it to the women's division.
Yes.
They're just superstars now, which is probably the best thing they could have done
about that.
We knew the whole problem of the Diva thing was because it was branded. It's something they could brand.
Mm-hmm.
They could still brand superstars, but yet they don't feel like, just less than.
That might be... It's either like a Nakamura debut or their women are just superstars now. Like the most exciting thing that has happened this weekend.
It felt like a pendulum shift.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the big defining moment. And it's like the springboarded off of that into the match that we saw later on in WrestleMania.
Yes.
But we'll get to that.
Yes. Next match on the card.
Moving on, we got Austin Aries defeating Baron Corbin.
Technically worst match of the night by default, I guess.
Not saying it's a bad match.
No, not at all.
I thought it was a good match, yeah.
It was a good match. It got to show off Austin Aries. And this was honestly a little more than like a parade of, oh, he's here.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
We weren't lying.
Yeah, he is here. I think if I was disappointed in one thing, it was that the Aries match was against Baron. I think you could have seen a lot more out of Aries with a different kind of opponent. I don't dislike Baron. I think Baron's a fine wrestler. I
think he was clearly on his way out. He's the most heel wrestler that they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it establishes Austin Aries as a face. We are going to cheer for him.
Yeah.
Sure.
More than anything else. And I think that, it was a fine, there's limitations to having him as the opponent that Austin Aries wouldn't have if he was wrestling somebody else.
Yeah.
But I think for a debut match where it's for a crowd who knows who Austin Aries is.
Sure, yeah.
It's not showing him off. It's not showing off what he can do. It's just showing him off that he's there.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
Blair, I have a question for you. As a longtime Alcineri's fan, were you disappointed that he did not wear a cape?
No, although I will say he can pull off the cape.
I've seen pictures. I believe it, yeah.
It really looks silly on 95% of people.
Yeah.
It would look totally, it's almost worse than those trench coats they wear in the ring.
Yeah.
On the main roster. But it is a good, Austin Aries, I said this on a podcast that I guess is going to go later, but if there's one guy that I think you guys will be impressed with more than you think, it's going to be Austin Aries. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's gotten sort of pushed back by bigger things, which are justifiable in a lot of those cases, Nakamura being one of those things.
Right. Yeah.
But I think you're going to be very impressed by Austin Aries if you keep watching.
Yeah. We've expressed, you know, fears of Austin Aries getting lost in the shuffle because he's coming in at a time like, you know, I think it's kind of safe to say that his debut was overshadowed by Nakamura's debut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nakamura is just a different kind of talent that just, he's a showman, he's all about showmanship.
Yeah.
Nakamura hype is absolutely justified as well.
Absolutely.
That's the thing.
So it feels like it's just going to be this big bottleneck towards the top.
Yeah.
But if that means we get Nakamura versus Austin Aries for the championship.
Which is definitely possible.
Shucks, you know? Yeah, oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, poor us.
Oh, yeah. Poor us.
The things we suffer
for. Oh, we're not a bottleneck.
Right. But also that means it will feel like it's a legitimate competition for the championship.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is just scratching and clawing for it.
You can manage a large bottleneck of people if you just don't let anybody get lost.
They can manage it. That moves on to match of the night.
Match of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
It's
going to stay at least in the top three contenders for the rest of the year.
It's match of the year.
And I don't see anybody else stopping it right now. I will
be very shocked if something comes and beats it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been anything that all four of us have ever agreed on unanimously.
Because
usually either me, you, or Q, Mjolnir or Q, mm-hmm. will spoil that. But even Q's not here, but he had told us the same thing. So I 100%.
Yeah, I was glad I wasn't the only one. Q was like me. And just the ring entrance for Nakamura, I've watched so many times.
Oh, it was amazing.
In the past 4 days. Q's pretty much said the same. Like, they've changed Nakamura's ring music, but, you know, that shouldn't surprise anyone.
Yeah, no. I don't know if they have a choice.
I mean, it's something that they can put on iTunes under the WWE brand.
Yeah. They've renamed that knee strike, his finishing move. It was formerly the Bomae when he was in Japan. I can't remember what the new name is. But, you know, there's somebody who wrote something on Reddit of, like, the connection between the two. And it's actually pretty interesting. And it's maybe a little bit more PG than what Bomae is.
Yeah.
Because it was from I can't remember the name of it, but it was a Muhammad Ali fight where the crowd was chanting Ali Bomae, which is mainly saying Ali, kill him.
Yeah.
So, and I think the new name is like name of like the town that it was in. So, still a connection.
Yeah.
More PG.
This is, I'd just like to add something too. This debut, you know, forget the match itself. The way they handled this debut.
Mm-hmm.
Was more bulletproof than any way I've ever seen them handle a debut.
Yeah.
For somebody that the WWE may not necessarily know.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say since AJ Styles, that's obviously not a long time, but before that, it may be ever.
Honestly,
I
likened this debut to that first time Finn Balor came out mm-hmm. as the Demon.
Yeah.
Nakamura may ooze charisma
mm-hmm.
more than any guy since The Rock.
Sure.
Just general.
And it's the thing, like, he didn't have to say a single word.
Yeah, the thing is, like, he hasn't talked yet. Because I've seen other stuff, and because he had that one little video package.
Sure.
On, you know, he clearly has an accent.
Sure.
And I don't know how comfortable he is.
Apparently with his English language. Apparently his English is really good.
So.
Miles better than, Hideo.
Okay.
When he first came in.
But it's not relevant.
No.
Like,
there is no language barrier when you have that amount of charisma.
Yeah. And this, we were specifically talking about this. I was discussing like the Usos match later on in WrestleMania. I was talking about the Usos have been on television for 4, maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
And I feel like I know and identify what Nakamura's character is better now
after one match.
After one match and one ring entrance with zero promos.
Yeah.
Then I do
the entirety of the time you've seen Usos.
Yeah.
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 And it's so it's not even that identifiable, but it's just this exact je ne sais quoi of what, you know, embodies wrestlers. Mm-hmm. It's maybe the best example of the, you know, famous it factor that they always point to somebody not having, which is why they're not getting a push.
This is the biggest reason why I'm incredibly stoked that, you know, less than a week later, we're going to be at NXT. Because, I mean, I don't know if Nakamura is going to be there, but just the thought alone is just, it was enough to make me want to go ahead and buy tickets, like, the moment they talked about it.
Yeah.
The moment they announced it. Yeah.
Sami Zayn was the perfect person to put him up
absolutely.
Against.
Absolutely. Yeah. On his way out. So, and, you know, he's not exactly going to refuse doing the favor anyway, especially when he's going up against, you know, one of the best wrestlers in the entire world.
Yeah.
Well, this match also had one of my favorite Zayn moments where he came in, did his entrance, like, he was stoked to be there. It was going to be one of his last.
And he sat down, basically.
He got in there, he did his entrance, he sat down, he shut up, and it was like he just wanted to watch.
Yeah, no,
what was going to be clearly a defining moment for a brand that he helped build.
He sat there because he wanted the best seat in the house for that entrance.
Yeah.
But I don't want to jump over everything that Sami Zayn put into this match.
No, absolutely.
Gushing over Nakamura, which he deserves, but...
But, and it's the thing that I really liked about this match is, you know, Nakamura has all this flash, but he still has all, like, this grit when it comes to his in-ring stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, the strong style and everything. And it brought a level of grittiness out of Sami Zayn that you normally don't see. You don't normally see Sami Zayn just straight up, you know, or straight, you know, throw punches or kick somebody in the face when they're on the ropes or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was one of those things where both of them were just rising to this peak moment and they were both, you know, responding in kind.
Yeah.
So incredible match. Nakamura couldn't have asked for a better opponent in his first WWE match.
No.
And Sami Zayn couldn't have asked for a better exit from NXT.
This match should be in textbooks of future wrestling schools, booking schools, everything.
It felt like there was an entire feud in that one match.
Yeah.
You know, like, it did more. It felt like they did more in that one match than most programs do in three pay-per-views.
I feel like you should roll a big TV, like that big TV that you watched Bill Nye on in elementary school. You roll that thing into the performance center and just play that match on loop.
Yeah. Elementary school for us, it was probably high school for Blair.
Yeah, pretty much. Debuts handling an exit like Zayn's, handling an entrance like Nakamura's, doing something that simple and watch it be that effective with, I watched wrestling with more people than I normally watch wrestling with, which is me.
Yeah.
Watching the people here react to it, watching the crowd react to it, my reaction to it, it's so much easier than they make it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And just to give something for everyone to look forward to, apparently, you know, they did do a couple of recordings for future NXT episodes over the weekend. Nakamura basically has a squash match in a couple weeks, but then a few weeks after that, he has a match against Ty Dillinger, which apparently everyone's raving about.
Cool.
So keep your eyes peeled for that match coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
Moving on to a match that just didn't, it held their own. And it just slightly less than Nakamura's match.
Yeah.
Was Asuka and Bayley. Asuka winning they say by submission, but it was by ref stoppage.
Yeah. Because she stone cold passed out.
Yeah, full on passed out. Which I don't like. Don't
stone
they
stone cold just... passed out? Is that a pun?
No. Like he meant like passed out like stone.
It also totally works.
I just passed out. I just wondered if he meant to do that.
No. Joel meant like she passed out like Stone Cold did.
Okay, so
I meant both.
You need something to do it. It's fun. No, it's a good job.
I wouldn't give him that much credit. I think he's claiming both
naturally.
Now. He's claiming both now.
You said it so naturally. I was like, does he even know what he did there?
No. I thought it was good, and then Chris passed
it
off.
It was great,
and I was like, he just missed it. He missed it.
The listeners will understand.
But the other thing is, like, I didn't want to like stop and be like, I made a really clever thing, guys. Let's all acknowledge. Really.
I mean, I do it all the time.
Yeah, I'm really glad you acknowledged it.
I bring the show to a screeching halt to acknowledge my brilliance, okay?
Nobody else will.
Exactly. So, quick question. I guess WWE doesn't do the whole, like, drop the hand three times anymore?
I did notice that when it happened.
I think it's a story thing.
If it
helps the story to be like, oh, look what they did. Or if they're definitely going to do the, like, you know, drop one, drop two, hold it up on the third one to do it. But plus, not doing that helps to add to, like, the urgency of this person needs medical attention.
And I don't know if the ending would have as much of a strong impact if they got the hand thing three times first.
Yeah.
So,
I'm fine with it being a case-by-case basis with whichever, stoppage helps the match the most.
I would get rid of the draft of three hands thing. I think it might just be another NXT like evolution of the way that things go. Because how many times have you seen? Have you ever seen them do one of those where it's not drop it once, drop it twice?
I've always seen it.
It's just about as it, and then they pull it up, and the announcers go, "Oh my god!"
I've very rarely seen one where they actually hit it once or twice. Yeah,
but I assume it's going to, you know, it's gonna like go right. Like if you don't hit a finisher, I assume you're kicking out at two.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will say that this match had the impossible task of following
and
the previous match.
They pulled it off.
I think they did. However, I will also say this is the best. If we gave out a classy for best two matches back to back, this one and Nakamura would also win that.
Yeah.
Because this was an incredible.
And we might have to extend that to the best three matches back to back.
Yeah.
Or the best six.
Or the whole thing.
Just want to make it.
Well, and that's the thing.
A lot of the matches are going to sound the same to you guys.
Yeah.
They're
just waxing lyrical on all of these.
They took an impossible task and then acted like it was impossible.
Yeah.
It would be so easy to be like, we put on a solid match, but what do you expect? We had to follow that. Yeah. And I would have never questioned, like, you know what? You're right. You just can't do that. And then they went out there. I thought the ref stoppage added a completely different feel to this match, which distinguished it from the Nakamura match.
Mm.
It'll
play nicely into the continuation of them going against each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. I never tapped out.
Yeah.
And this also helps that it has a continuing story to have built from and continue to build.
Yeah.
So it has that advantage. But I thought they were incredible. Bayley constantly impresses me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about Bayley, but like in between matches, I'll start to have this like backslide of like, Bayley's good, but there's a reason she wasn't the one called up. And then I'll like watch a match like this and be like, you're an idiot, Pass Joel. This is amazing.
Bayley has that same quality that Daniel Bryan does in the sense that they're both like empathy magnets,
mm-hmm.
you know, for somehow the way that they work matches, their ability, their moveset or whatever, you tend to gain empathy for them throughout the entirety of a match. So by the time you get to the end, you're just cheering for them because it feels like they're a natural underdog.
Yep. Yeah.
Something that they wish John Cena was, and they didn't have to put him in all these ridiculous predicaments from month to month.
Yeah, you're not a natural underdog when you're too wide that you can't walk through a doorway without turning sideways.
Exactly.
Not at all. Just Asuka she's made so many improvements as well, and it's a very subtle thing from her debut, and she still pretty much has the same ring entrance, but she's using the mask better. She's using the lighting. It's fitting the character better.
She's learning WWE's product.
She's learning the WWE product. Yeah.
She was pretty much golden in every other facet of the game, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like production stuff, I mean, you know, even Finn Balor, when he came in, he was like, I didn't know what camera to look at what point. Like, I was completely lost when I first did this. So, I mean, but she seems to be picking up very well.
Yeah, it's a subtle thing, but it improves the product as a whole.
I really think Asuka too could get called up within the year. I feel like
the only reason Bayley is there is to have a top tier person for that division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like one of them is going to get moved up, and whoever doesn't is going to be the new top tier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the top tier. But moving on to that, just 16 minutes and 22 seconds of just brutality.
Yeah.
This match perfectly showcased Samoa Joe for me. And I've been watching Samoa Joe for a very long time.
This is a great period to the sentence of like the past couple months for Joe.
Yeah.
Because I'll be the first one to say, like, it something just felt off when Joe first came to NXT.
Yeah.
Just something just wasn't adding up. But it all came together at the tag team special. Mm-hmm. The respect. When,
right.
When they won the Dusty Rhodes trophy. From that point on, Samoa Joe clicked with NXT.
Yeah.
And it just felt like he just had a new purpose. There was specifically in that match, the tag team match, there was a hot tag that that Finn made on Joe, and Joe came out just, I was scared looking at him, you know, on the other side of the screen.
Yeah.
He just came out with this intensity, and he hasn't lost that intensity since.
No. This match, as far as a technical wrestling match, this is the weakest of the three.
Yeah, but who cares? Like,
That's not Joe's fault, that's not Finn's fault, that's... You know,
that's the
constant bleeding's fault.
Constant bleeding, and I mean, that's not really what the match was all about,
right? And as that took away from like the wrestling opportunities, just the image of Joe trying to keep going and being so frustrated that the refs kept stopping him, which I knew was genuine to a certain extent, but it added so much to the intensity of the character of Joe that it honestly. And set up that character so well.
And honestly, like, playing off of what happened in the match right before it, you don't know, like, you know, there is this one whole thing where this match could end at any second just by the ref saying, all right, that's enough.
Yeah,
and the crowd was very clearly alarmed that it could.
Exactly. So that added a new element to it where it just felt like every moment could be the end of this match.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like what you're describing with Joe, and I don't know because I haven't seen a lot of NXT as much as I'd like, but
yeah.
It sounds like what you're describing with Joe is almost sort of what I saw with Aries here. Now, that's one appearance, so it's
sure.
Not, I can't judge a guy on one appearance, but it sounds like sort of what you're describing. Like, the Joe that we saw is like the Joe that I've seen before, where it's been, I would put it to like 2005 to 2007 in TNA, where it just wasn't particularly believable that anyone would want to fight Joe, that they would be scared of him.
Yeah.
That it would be...
Like everyone feels with Asuka right now.
Yeah, like everyone feels with Asuka. No one wants to
fight her, yeah.
This was Joe at his... Probably some of his best that I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
Finn was a perfect opponent for him.
Uh-huh.
Joe...
He has a frustration about him, or he... I don't know if it's a real frustration, yeah, but Joe
always
this.
Joe always seems to both not get the matches and the opportunity he deserves, and be very aware...
Yeah.
That he is better than his current situation.
Yeah.
So he's constantly fighting and frustrated against that. And this played perfectly into that because part of it was real that you can see this title shot slipping away from Joe due to one bad shot to the eye.
Yeah.
And he feels like he can still go. He is clearly showing everybody he can still go. And it still doesn't matter. And you can see that reading across his face. And at the same time, that face is still squirting out blood.
Yeah.
Even though exactly. They're trying to stop it.
He's angry at his own wound.
And so, it's just...
He was angry at the doctors trying to stop him bleeding.
Yeah. So...
I think part of this match might have also been that they wanted it to be more brawly, given what
happened. Oh, sure.
I think it was. I think that was... That
this was supposed to be the explosion between the two.
Yeah. I think that was always the intent, and it just, again, we've had long discussions on previous podcasts about, like, when is blood appropriate, when is blood excessive, and, you know, how do you get around the fact that blood more or less improves a match, but I don't want people bleeding.
Yeah, sure.
So,
again, you don't want to overdo it.
Right. Yeah. And so, we had this moment that, like, it really helped that he was, you know, that this shot and this thing that was happening, it fed into the character so well, which fed into the match so well.
Yeah. I agree. I think, like, the pay-per-view as a whole, it's sort of like I said with how they handled the debut. The NXT is, they've created this thing from scratch.
Yeah.
They've created this model. This weekly show that feeds into occasional pay-per-views that are like one every few months or so.
One every 3 months or so,
one
usually.
Every 3 months or so. And again, it shows when you look at the main roster, so much of the problems and the headaches that they seem to go through. Well, here's this thing right here, which you created. I'm not saying duplicate it, because it's not the same business model, obviously, but it's so much easier than they're making it. This is a simple product with a simple presentation that is... I realize there are differences. Smaller arenas is one of them.
Yeah.
You know. But just top to bottom, it was a perfect show.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I have no real complaints about the show. I mean, I can be like, oh, let's all remember there was a botch in the first match. Yeah, like, sure. You know, 2 out of 10 for this mm-hmm. pay-per-view. But there's nothing real to complain about.
No. Here.
There's nothing to point at and say, poor booking, that title should have gone on that guy. Or, you know, I can't believe they're underutilizing this talent that they have. And there is talent. There's great talent in NXT that didn't even show up on this roster. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes that happens.
Sure. Yeah.
But I can't point to anything on the roster and be like, that shouldn't have been there because there's so much underutilized talent in the back.
Well, watching
everything on the mat, everything on the card proved that it deserved to be on the card of a takeover event.
Yeah, I agree. And like, there's so few wrestling things that I will rewatch, but in particular shows as a whole, I would rewatch, and at some point likely will rewatch that entire show. Talk we already about, rewatched the Nakamura match.
That was my third time watching it.
This is a situation where the network is a thing that exists. I can watch this whenever I want on the network. If they put out a DVD of this, I will buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in case the power goes out and I need to watch it.
And you have a portable DVD player.
Oh man. I just had a...
In case the internet goes out.
Yeah, my internet might go out. I might need to go ahead and download this.
In case an EMP goes off over the North Carolina sky and you can't use your electronics. I think watching it, the thing that struck me, there's no wasted space on that pay-per-view.
No.
There's not a wasted space or a person that you don't feel like should necessarily be in there.
Right.
It was Raw minus the things that make Raw... It was a pay-per-view, like a traditional WWE main roster pay-per-view.
Right.
Minus the things that make it
all the side
slow,
stuff.
Clunky, what have you.
Right.
And better commentary.
And it goes into the argument that once you get to the pay-per-view, the time for talk is over.
Yeah.
If you haven't been able to promo... hype, excitement for this match. If you're still having to do it, you know, on the pay-per-view, you're the kid in the back writing his report while roll's being called, hoping you can get it done and turn it in time.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So
you know, that also means that by that point, they should have portrayed everything they wanted to portray for a particular feud, so it's not necessarily the commentator's job to remind you of everything while the match is happening. They could just, you know, call the freaking match.
Yeah.
You know, instead. They're like, oh, yo, they did this one thing. Remember when they did this other thing beforehand? Like, that kind of thing.
Right.
The stuff that Michael Cole is guilty of.
So, that's NXT TakeOver, which, like, sets the bar impossibly high for the rest of the weekend.
One more quick thing on NXT TakeOver.
Okay.
My flight left to come here at 5 minutes after midnight, the day NXT aired.
Yeah.
I was in the air for about 12
hours. The morning before NXT.
The morning, technically, yes. Technically, the morning before.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, sorry. The morning that NXT aired, I left at 5 minutes after midnight. I got here at about 2.
Yeah.
So I was in the air for 14. Well, I was in the air connecting flights for 4 hours. 2 connections. I got here. So NXT started at what time?
10 o'clock that night.
NXT started at 10 o'clock that night. I got here at 2.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am knackered. There's no way I'm going to be able to maybe make it to this show. I'm going to pass out. And...
Knackered means tired, Joel.
Sorry.
I can pick it up on context clues.
To be fair, that's a Britishism. I kind of stole that from Carl Pilkington. But for a 30-minute nap on Chris's lovely, comfortable couch, I made it through the... There was not a hint of me falling asleep.
Yeah.
I have gone into wrestling events being more awake than I have at any point during the day and being exhausted at half an hour into it.
Yeah.
I was awake for this whole thing, and it was not a problem.
Yeah,
that's extremely surprising to me.
That's telling of the show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I guess we should move on to the
one night later
Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame.
Never again, my friend.
Nobody believed me. I warned everyone, and nobody believed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I submit this humbly. I submit humbly to that.
That was an awful night of really bad talking.
So,
with like a couple exceptions, but
if you have never seen a Hall of Fame in its full, Hall of Fame depends so heavily on who's being inducted. If you don't care about the person being inducted, it is a drag.
If you grew up watching Stan Hansen and you wanted to know way more
about,
check out the 2016 Hall of Fame.
Well, this thing is, I really like Stan Hansen.
Yeah.
He was in the right territory of stuff I was interested in digging through the history of.
Yep. Yeah.
And
again, he was tag team partners with one of my favorite wrestlers ever.
Yeah. He's impressive. He's been important, but I don't have a raw emotional connection to Stan Hansen matches.
Sure.
Which you have to. You have to have an emotional connection to wanting to honor these people.
Yeah.
Instead of, pretty much everybody, I have this intellectual knowledge that these people have worked hard. These people have done something for this business that I love and care about and deserve to be recognized for this above and beyond any other recognition that this business can offer somebody.
Mm-hmm. Like Snoop Dogg.
Of course.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Let's ignore the celebrity thing.
I'm sorry.
Let's ignore the skewed warrior award we have now.
Yeah.
So that intellectual acknowledgement of that is there.
Mm-hmm.
Most everybody has that, and you can argue for this guy or that guy. Like, Coco Beware is in there, and so, like, he's the prime example of, let's debate, you know, the merits of getting into the Hall of Fame.
Right, yeah.
But that is there, but if you do not have that raw emotional need to, you know, connection to them for whatever reason in your life, and somebody does. Pretty much everybody in the Hall of Fame this year and previous years, absolutely, somebody has that connection.
Sure.
And these guys deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. And it's really long.
I agree. I've never watched a Hall of Fame top to bottom. I will usually download it and skip to the guys that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
That's
what, you know, now that we have, you know, the wonderful thing about the network, you know, just if there's someone I'm particularly interested in, I'll go in later and check.
I'm never watching a full one again.
No.
I don't care.
It's not. I probably will. Not now. Probably, but in about 15, 20 years, it's going to be a lot more people that I have that
we're interested
real,
in.
Real, genuine emotion.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. I do want to say, I think the ones that I had, that I've watched their careers in some way, shape, or form, Godfather, I watched him as multiple characters. And I also thought his intro and his speech were both delightfully...
They were well done.
They were concise. There wasn't a lot of nonsense in there. Stories are fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with stories.
Oh, sure.
Jacqueline's
was fine.
Jacqueline's was great. I watched Jacqueline in ECW... Jacqueline in ECW? We'll look that up later. Mm-hmm. I watched Jacqueline in WCW, WWE, and TNA. I think she was very underrated at the time in terms of her ability, especially given who she was working with at the time.
Sure.
And Sting, I thought, did a fantastic job.
Sure.
Ric Flair needs cue cards. Somebody get him a prompter.
Are they cards written by Q?
I adore Ric Flair. But less than 20% of his...
Here's the thing.
He had a lot of stories.
If Ric Flair...
About Steamboat.
If Ric Flair had been inducting the first person of the night instead of the last person of the night, it would have been charmingly Ric Flair-y.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And that's the thing, is like...
But at that point, we had sat through everyone, including Mr. Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, it became annoying.
But even still, the speech was not enough about Sting. Like I said...
Oh, no, it was
just
not.
Just get him a prompter. It's not... Rick
he would go on this tangent. Faculties.
Well, you also have to understand that at some point, the Hall of Fame was not a show to be shown on the network. Not something that your average WWE fan could buy a ticket to. It was basically a dinner.
Yes.
Like, if you go watch, watch Bobby Heenan's induction speech.
Which is great.
It's a great speech. But, like, if you look at the background, that's in, like, a banquet hall somewhere.
It's in a theater.
Yeah,
it was before theater, Hall of Fame became as big as it is now. I get that. It's like what the TNA Hall of Fame is now. They do it at a hotel.
I think it's the kind of thing where back then it's a lot of people who knew everybody through different things.
Sure,
had you know
the stage was set up back then. It was set up like a roast.
Yeah, and you know this was a time where we all of us old timers got to get together and swap stories.
Yeah. Sure.
And Ric Flair never moved past that.
Yeah. Well, but
that, that's what he still feels it is.
And that's
problematic. It is problematic because it's a weird presentation when he says Steamboat 14 times and Sting 3 times.
He tells four Steamboat stories. Maybe tells one Sting story, and then just basically says, but I love Sting, I respect Sting, here's Sting.
He would go on this long tangent, and then he would be like, but the thing about Sting, you know.
Yeah, and but then even that would trail off into something else. I guess for somebody who, I was super invested, I was watching WCW, I was a WCW guy for the Sting, especially the Crow part, when he was basically WCW's Batman, that's what he was.
Right.
And so to see Flair, who was there at the same time, and like I've heard, like Flair inducting Roddy Piper was a 180 out from what you saw. It was funny. It was concise. It was all about Piper.
Hell,
so that was a little bit
his induction of Steamboat.
His induction of Steamboat was fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah. So that part was a little weird.
Part of it is frustrating.
It's Flair being Flair.
Part of it is frustrating when you're like, I know that there are Sting stories rattling around in there.
Yeah,
you spent too much time with them not to have them.
Yeah.
So Joel. Yeah. Just because there's a possibility that we might make it to WrestleMania 33.
Yeah.
If by chance we get one of those, you know, weekend packages situations, let's skip the Hall of Fame, barring any big...
Depends on who's inducted. It will always depend on who's being
barring
inducted.
Any,
I agree with that.
Barring any big induction and just, you know, call it an early night so we're well-rested for WrestleMania the next day.
Or maybe if we like the main inductee, we go... You know, we or you go at, like, we trickle in around the end of it.
Sure.
If we, you know.
It always depends on the induction. And it depends on how I'll personally feel about the induction.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing is, like.
Is there booze? That might change it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is there booze there? That might change it for me.
There's, I have.
Shows you how not a drinker I am. I was thinking, like, boo. Like, booze kind of booze.
Am I allowed to boo the Hall of Fame inductees?
I will say this. From what I saw last year, the crowd was way better this year.
They were.
A lot more respectful.
Crowd was good.
I do think there needs to be some level of, this is the Hall of Fame. It's the one
There's
time.
There's a level of decorum.
Yeah, it's the one time of the year. It's the one event that this goofy, trashy company puts something on that I'm like, you know what? Let's just, let's Hold understand. Back.
Chill with the what chance.
Yes.
And
didn't they only do that one time, though? Wasn't there only one time we didn't feel like they were being respectful?
I mean, I don't care
from what I hear, Donald Trump.
From what I hear, last year was particularly bad.
Okay. I didn't watch.
So. I'm just going off of what I've heard. Like, sure. I know Jericho on his podcast was super pissed about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are honestly, there are things like Stan Hansen has given his life for this business.
Oh, sure.
Has done amazing, incredible things, you know, as far as like the cowboy wrestler, more or less pioneered that as a concept. You know, thousands of people have made a career following in his footsteps.
Sure.
And the dude is just not Sting. Sure. And that sucks. Yeah. And I don't want to belittle what he has done.
No, for sure.
But you know, again, to the crowd's credit, they respectfully.
And they did. I had no problem with the crowd this year.
I applaud that crowd for sitting through that. And the Freebirds thing was not boring, but it was distracting.
That was too much.
Okay, who was the guy that got peed on?
Who was the other Freebird?
I forget. I have a suspicion that because Michael Hayes is in a lot of documentaries.
Yes,
he is. You know, he's on the network a lot, and they're kind of like
he's a talking head on a lot of things.
Yes, I have a suspicion they use like a 12th of what he actually says.
Yeah.
Because I
don't think he ever stops talking.
No. Yeah. And I think the man loves road stories.
More than
anything else in his life, he loves road stories.
Yeah.
And I get that, and there's a time and a place for that. And when WWE's amazing video package team is willing to find the best ones for me, I will watch it enthralled.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But an unedited camera on that man.
And to be fair, the story of him in a bar was funny.
It was.
It was a legitimately good story.
Sure.
Like, if there was a YouTube clip of, you know,
that story might be a little bit more charming had it not come after they already gave their Hall of Fame speech, had the sons of the members that had passed away come out, talk, And then they're like, I think we need more story. It's like, what?
And they played music in between those things happening.
As if it was just a brand new segment.
Yeah. And again, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, there's going to be things like Ziggler will get inducted and he will not be the main title guy. Barring a serious change in his career, Ziggler's almost guaranteed to go in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Almost guaranteed not to be the main event guy.
Sure.
And I will desperately want to see Ziggler.
Absolutely.
I will want to hear the introduction. I want to hear the stories. I will want to hear his speech. I will be enthralled in that.
Think of it this way. Also, I feel like one day it is a guarantee that CM Punk goes in the Hall of Fame. That's going to be the one that we're absolutely going to want to tune in for. We might not tune in until like maybe an hour and a half left in the show.
Well, the other interesting thing about Hall of Fame is, like you said, you know, in 15 years, you'll have a little bit more of an emotional attachment to the show. But even now, they're taking guys, you know, from the 70s, even in the 60s, it's not far enough, you know. So they're doing different eras, right?
Sure.
So
they're incorporating a lot of different eras.
They are.
Which is a good way of, like, also educating your audience on some of these guys that they probably should know about.
I also want to say Sting, I thought, did a fantastic job.
Absolutely, yeah.
I thought Sting did a great job.
Super classic.
I thought Sting did a great job. I think Sugar kept me going through that, and I wasn't going off of almost no sleep.
That was the...
That was the night I tried the Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that was the beginning of your new voltage.
Joel's lovely wife, Heather, made me a cake, which I've had way too much of, so that helped a lot here.
Yeah.
Never again.
No, it's... I can't say never again, because I know... I will care. I mean, I honestly cared about one person this year. I cared. I wanted to see Sting.
I had a few.
I cared to see Sting. I was curious about Godfather and Freebirds.
Yeah, but like I
was curious about Jacqueline. Same thing, except Jacqueline instead.
I figured Jacqueline was going to be pretty classy about it, to be honest with you.
Now we know why Triple H and Stephanie only let Michael Hayes sing one song at their wedding.
Yeah, because it lasted probably about 15 minutes.
He
probably wanted to sing the entire, like, Freebird song.
He's actually not got a bad voice. I make fun and I shouldn't. He's actually not got a bad voice for an old man. For an old man of his years.
For an old man who was singing with a handheld mic and running up and down the aisle, not bad.
I think he's like like the Energizer Bunny. I think you need to let the batteries run down every once in a while.
Now,
he might pee on Linda like he hinted at.
If you actually listen to... actual like studio recordings of his music, and yes, he still makes music. You would probably feel differently about his voice.
I wish I didn't know.
He is all about some America, you guys, and he's all about some guns.
Ooh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, he is also from Georgia, so surprise, surprise.
Did you guys have a favorite story that came out of that? Because sometimes, even if the nomination or the inductions,
won't say it's a favorite story, but the fact that Sting mentioned Joker Sting, was my favorite moment.
That's
of the
interesting.
Night.
Because you saw Joker Sting, didn't you?
I did see Joker Sting. Joker. That was the time I was watching. And honestly, the time I was watching, because it was 2012, maybe 2013 when that happened, and I'm sitting there being like, that movie came out 5 years ago, and it feels like Sting was, like, busy on the road.
That's more current than TNA normally is.
I know. It felt like he finally got around to, like, popping in the DVD and being like, I've been inspired.
Man, I've been wearing face paint for a long time.
Like the Joker thing was already starting to, like, really get old at, like, Comic-Con stuff.
Yeah. So, what about you?
I mean, the bar story kind of stands out.
Bar story stands out.
And again, you know, as much as he likes to talk, Hayes is a pretty decent storyteller.
Yeah.
And that's why, honestly, that's why I actually kind of enjoyed his Legends with JBL thing that they posted the week before.
I liked Sting talking about that brawl, and Kevin Nash said, can I spoon with you, Sting?
That was good.
Found out, Sting, can do a really good Kevin Nash impression, and he can do a really good Vince impression.
Again,
everyone has one. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's as good one.
But Sting has probably spent less time around Vince than the average wrestler.
That makes it that much more impressive.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, to sum it all up, the Hall of Fame is an important thing. I'm glad that they do it. I'm glad there's an opportunity to see it.
And I'm glad there's going to be a physical Hall of Fame coming soon.
Yes. Because if you, again, feel an emotional connection to any of these guys, you probably feel very strongly about what. And honestly, if I watched this not in a 4-hour block, but over a week, one inductee a night, I would feel very different about it.
I 100% agree.
It is a marathon to sit through that whole thing.
Yeah.
Especially caring only about one guy who happens to be at the very end, and you know that's when he's going to be.
And you can't exactly cut them off.
No.
So that's why I agree with you. You wouldn't want to do that.
No. So my recommendation to you as the viewer is if there is a person or enough people that you feel that connection to, it's probably a really touching moment.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of things in there where, like, I'm sitting on the couch, like, I'm acknowledging this is a touching moment. I don't I don't feel anything, but I'm acknowledging that this is a touching, important moment.
For some people.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, I don't disagree.
And it is, and it should be.
I've never made me cry or anything, but I've had, like, emotional reactions to guys that I've watched for a long time.
Sure,
Hogan, yeah. Before he went off the deep end. Great induction. Piper was an amazing induction.
The
intro from Flair and his speech was unbelievable.
I challenge anyone to sit through Bobby Heenan's induction speech and, you know, come through the end of it with a dry eye.
Oh, that's the first induction I ever sought out.
Yeah.
Bret's was great. Stone Cold's was great.
Like, as soon as Heenan, like, mentions how much he wished Gorilla was there, just, it tears you up.
Shawn Michaels, when Shawn Michaels talked about his family.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash's was really, really good in that way too, when he talked about his wife.
But, like, you notice these are all people that you have some level of connection to.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Ric Flair, like, the part where he's like, of all the things I've done, maybe I've done a little bit of good or something along those lines, it gets me every time.
What was the one I was just going to say? Scott Hall. Watching Scott Hall after everything that he went through.
Jake Roberts
is another one, yeah.
Bad Times Don't Last. That was a good year. That was a good year for Hall of Fame speech.
That was the year DDP Yoga presented the Hall of Fame, because if it wasn't for him.
It was those. Lita went in. She was pretty good. Speech.
Trump went in that year.
Not that year.
Don't tempt me.
Sorry.
But that also had Ultimate Warrior, too.
Another perfect example.
Yeah, that... Yeah, so, I had a little bit of crazy in that one, but it was okay.
But that's the thing. There will be years on down the line where I will sit down and be like, 4 hours, let's watch this Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And I will be heartstrings tugged at every guy.
Sure.
I hope that doesn't for a while, because that means all the people I have strong emotional connections to are retired.
It's still working.
Yeah.
So, but your mileage may vary. Watch with discretion.
Yeah. Watch in parts.
Yes. All right, WrestleMania. God, we are almost an hour into this, and we have not even touched
an hour in.
We have not even.
We talked a lot more about the Hall of Fame than I thought we would.
Not even touch the main show.
Yeah, we went.
So if you count the pre-show, WrestleMania was